beloved brother, and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greeteth you, and Mark's sister, son to Barnabas, concerning whom you have received commandment, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, who have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greeteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness or record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye also read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. A lot of good stuff in these scriptures. Some people read over them. One of the best sermons I guess I ever preached was out of one of the genealogies. Just so-and-so begat so-and-so, and the Lord showed me a tremendous truth. I'll share that sometime. Fantastic. You know, you just pass over so many good things a lot of times because you say, well, this isn't meaty stuff. And yet it is. This should minister to the heart of many here. And in my Scofield Bible, it says, the little title before verse 7 says, Conclusion, Personal Exhortations. And I think the reason why the Lord put these personal exhortations in here, because I think that He knows that there are people here who are like Tychicus and Onesimus and Aristarchus and Mark and Archippus and Demas and Luke and Epaphras. He knows that in the ministry, there's always people like this, and there's always people who have individual needs. And so he starts ministering to personally. Now, he's written this letter to the Colossians, that is, the church at Colossae, which was a city. But he takes time out to minister. He takes time out to minister to a few, and he calls them by name, and he tells different things that's going on. Now this first one, his name is Tychicus, and it says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might make known your state, or that he might know your state and comfort your heart. If you read the book of Acts, you'll find that the Apostle Paul did not just travel alone. Now, we think of that, but he traveled with a whole bunch of people. I mean, you can read there, and it'll say, so-and-so got on the boat, and then we had so-and-so, and we all decided to do this, and there was a whole crew of them. And you see, that's the way God always intended it, but somewhere along the line, over the years, we have gotten to the point where it's a one-man show. But that's not the way it was. You hear of the great things the Apostle Paul did, but if you'll search real close, most of these names are mentioned in the book of Acts, they're mentioned in Timothy, they're mentioned in a lot of places. And that shows that the necessity for the body of Christ, it shows that God never intended there to be just one man show or this or that, and that God has got so many ministries that if we just wake up, we'd find that everybody's got a part. Everybody's got a place. Everybody has something. They're very precious to the Lord. They're very precious to the Lord. And they have been dealt with individually. Now, I know that sometimes members think, well, I don't have anything to do, but there's plenty to do. There's plenty to do. He said over there in verse 11, he said, these are my fellow workers in the kingdom of God. He didn't say, these are my fellow workers for the church that I, you know, helped raise over in here in Antioch. He was a member of the church of Antioch. He answered to him. He went back to him and he answered to Jerusalem. But he had a kingdom view. He had a kingdom view. He didn't have a self-centered my ministry view. He had a kingdom view. He was the Son of the Most High God. And he felt like, as Jesus did, I must be about my Father's business. He didn't say, well, I guess I better go get about the business of the church today. Better get down to the office, you know. He knew. One place he says, I know in whom I have believed. He walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. Jesus appeared to him many times and told him, you know, don't go down over there. That's going to be a mess over there. Come down over here. The Spirit spoke many times to him. Angels appeared to him. He had visions. God dealt with him. He was a man that walked with God. Walked with God. Well, that's the way we're all supposed to be. You say, only the special people can do these things. No, no, everybody. See, he called us what? Not first to the ministry, but to fellowship with him. And as we fellowship with him, he says, I remember one time that Paul and Barnabas and a group, about five people were there praying in the church house, you know, and the Spirit of God came in. And you better watch out when the Spirit of God shows up. And he showed up, and the Holy Spirit said. Now, the Bible says that this is what the Holy Spirit said. They're praying, the Holy Spirit said. So the Holy Spirit said? Yeah. He said, and they heard him. Wait a minute, brother. You one of them guys that hears voices? Yeah. Sure do. I hear from God all the time. God, I do. And remember we were at the hospital the other night? A couple of guys sitting there. Woo! I guess they didn't know the Lord. I sat down there and started sharing the word and talking crazy like I usually do in here. Most of you are used to me now. You don't think I'm too crazy. And they were really looking, you know. I mean, their eyes were big over. And I said, you young guys probably think I'm some sort of fanatic, don't you? And they didn't say nothing, but they just kind of looked at me funny. And I said, well, I am. I'm just a fan for Jesus. I'm a Jesus fan. That's what a fanatic is. It means you're just a fan. And I'm probably one of the biggest fans of Jesus Christ I know. Well, anyway, back on this. Paul didn't just travel by himself, and he sent this guy. He said, all my state, or the way things are going with me, Tychicus shall declare unto you. He is a beloved brother. He didn't say he's my local servant. He said he's my brother, and he's my beloved brother. And he said of him that he is also a faithful minister. He said, this man's a minister. He said, I'm sending Tychicus. Can you imagine Colossal? The church at Colossal, raised up by the Apostle Paul one day. The Apostle Paul went through there. He preached the gospel, man. He began to lay hands on the sick and they recovered. In the name of Jesus, he cast out devils. Signs and wonders followed him. He didn't follow after signs and wonders. They followed him everywhere he went. And then one day he left and he writes this letter and he says, now I'm going to send Tychicus to you. Can you imagine him? Tychicus? We want the Apostle Paul. Brother, don't send Tychicus. Who's Tychicus anyway? Who is this Tychicus? I want the Apostle Paul. And people do that. People do that. Here, we're not so much in this church, but we have visitors that do that. Funny, we have a prayer line up here, and I'll call Brother Gentry up here to pray. Well, everybody knows the power of God's in Brother Gentry. Everybody knows he's in everybody, but everybody knows there is a special anointing on this brother, and when he lays hands on the sick, they recover. Now, I'll clue you. It happens for me too, but everybody knows. Okay, and we had somebody come up today, and everybody was praying. Everybody here knows, you know, you have. Sometimes I call two or three people up, and somebody says, "Oh, I get Brother Gentry." We had a visitor. We got him, and he said, "Well, I want to talk to the pastor." You know, and she came to me, and Mike was standing there, and she told me everything. I want you to pray for me and everything, and I want you and your wife. I said, "Well, my wife's praying with somebody right now," but I said, there's a powerhouse standing right beside you here. And I said, we're going to pray for it. I said, this guy is powerful. She kind of, Tychicus? You know? But I've got as much confidence as him as me, and many of you, as a matter of fact. And I, you know, that we should not do that. We shouldn't do that. It's the Lord that does it, and the Lord uses vessels. And praise God. You know, I used to have that happen. I was in a church once when I was the associate pastor. And he would announce Wednesday night that Sunday morning he's going to be gone and I was going to preach. And we'd have about four people show up. Now, frankly, I preached a whole lot better than he did. I don't know why. But, and Brother Mike preaches a lot better than I do. And if you missed Sunday school this morning, you missed a treat. Because the word of the Lord went forth and it was good stuff. I was sitting back there enjoying it. It's powerful. But that shouldn't happen. I mean, God is going to show up. You know, if I'm not here and Mike's leading, God's still going to be here. He doesn't say, well, Randy's leaving. I guess we better follow him. Hardly. Praise God for that, you know. He's here. He's in Mike. He's in Pam. He's in you. He's in others here. You know, Mike leaves and he says, Brother Mike Wallace, would you teach Sunday school? Somebody says, teach it, you know. But he shares the word powerfully. We've got many here. You know that. But that's why I believe this is here, to show us some things. You see, this stuff's here for a reason. You just don't say, well, this final greetings, he's just naming a few people that died a long time ago, and it doesn't mean anything. Folks, this Bible means something. Every jot and every tittle, it's good stuff. And if we get that in our mind, you can enjoy some of the really neat things that most people just pass over. You never hear them share on it, because they don't mess with that. Well, I'm going to get in Romans 8, you know. Well, Romans 8 is fantastic, but so is this. Praise God. Tychicus, he's a beloved brother to Paul. He's a faithful minister to the people, and he's also a fellow servant in the Lord. He said, by the way, even though Brother Mike Tychicus over here is a beloved brother of mine, even though I can tell you he's a faithful minister, I can also tell you that we're also servants, fellow servants. We're not big shots, we're fellow servants. Just servants, here to serve the house of God. That's why, you know, I don't mind holding stuff and doing, praise God, that's my opportunity to me. That's just as fun to me as laying hands on the sick and watching them recover. It's serving my brother. Yeah, praise God. So he says, I'm going to send him to you, and I want him to know your state and comfort your hearts. I want him to get in there and find out what's going on, and I want you to open up to him. And then he says, verse 9, and with him is coming a guy named Onesimus. With Onesimus. He's coming with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. Now, who is this Onesimus? Have you ever read the book of Philemon? How many of you think Philemon's in the New Testament? Raise your hand. How many think it's in the Old Testament? Raise your hand. It's in the New Testament. Sorry. Praise God. Philemon was a man who lived in the city of Colossae. He was apparently a well-to-do man. And he had a slave or a servant named Onesimus. And you can read the book of Philemon. It is a letter to the man Philemon who lived in Colossae, telling about this man, this Onesimus. Onesimus was a servant, and Onesimus got fed up one day, and he stole a bunch of money, and he took off, and he left, and he ran away. He was a runaway slave. And he ran into a guy in Rome. Onesimus ran into a guy in Rome called Paul. And Paul shared the word of God with him, and he got saved. And he said, listen, man, you need to go back and make all this right. Don't tell me I got to go make it right. So he's saying, I'm sending Tychicus with you. Tychicus and Onesimus. Onesimus? What a motley crew. Onesimus is that runaway slave. He's that runaway slave that stole my money. I can hear Philemon there. He's a thief. But he'd gotten saved. And so he's saying, I'm sending him. He says, a faithful and beloved brother. What? Don't tell me he got saved. Now I can't beat him when he gets back. You know. Now, if I beat him, everybody will say, all these bad things about me. And he writes the book of Philemon. And the Apostle Paul says, Philemon, receive him as you have received me. It's real possible that Paul led Philemon to the Lord. You know. So he says, receive this servant that has worked under you all these years and stolen your money and ran off. Receive him as me. See, this is a spiritual law here. This is what Jesus did. Receive you. He says to the Father, receive them as me. And he says, if he stole any money, put that on my account. Put that on my account. And he says, if there's anything left that we need to get settled when I come, I'll settle up with you, brother. Because he didn't have anything. He's just a runaway slave. He didn't have anything to pay back all that money he'd spent to get to Rome, hanging out all them bars and stuff, or wherever. They have bars back in Rome? Anyway. They didn't have them little video rooms. I know that, so they probably didn't find him in there. And he said, receive him as me, and I'll pay back his debt. That's what Jesus said. See, the Apostle Paul, it wasn't just he was a good man. It was Christ in him. And he knew what Jesus had done for him, and he said, just like Jesus paid my debt, brother, put his arm around this old slave. Said, just like Jesus paid my debt, I'll pay yours. I'll stand in the gap with you. See, that's what we need. The life of Jesus coming out of us. Said, I'll help you. I'll do this. I'll do that. He says, my reputation as an apostle, I'm going to tell them to receive you, the slave, the runaway, thieving slave. I'm going to tell them to receive you just like me. So he says in this little letter here, he says, and Tychicus is going to come to you, and he's going to bring Onesimus with you, a faithful brother that I've met down the way. You know, he kind of... And, you know, they're all going, oh, man, how are we going to deal with this? So they're going to have to deal with this situation in the love of God. And that letter is a wonderful letter. You need to read the book of Philemon sometime. And then he says, they shall make known unto you all things that are done here. Now, some could get a little jealous and say, what is this? Onesimus is on the inside with the Apostle Paul. He's in there and he's going to tell us, you know. That's why you got to watch it. You got to watch pride. You got to watch all this stuff. You got to stand against the devil. Anytime that stuff comes against you, you have to resist the devil. And what will happen? He will flee from you. He will flee from you. Either that or the word's not true. And we know it to be true. And then verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greeteth you. So here we got Aristarchus coming. Or not coming, but he says, he greets you. And what was Aristarchus? What was his big title? Fellow prisoner. They carried some pretty heavy-duty titles back there, didn't they? I want to be the superintendent of the Sunday school. You know, I want to have my name. I want to have a big title under my name. Senior pastor. He says, I'm going to send Aristarchus. He's the big man. He's the fellow prisoner. See, they didn't have a lot of room for pride back then. And Aristarchus shows up and says, yeah, I got thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. And you know who I found in there? Paul. And we sat in there and shared the word and had a great time. So he says, the Apostle Paul says, yeah, let me tell you, my old buddy, old fellow prisoner, you know, my cellmate, he said hello. You know, and they're going, man, they got slaves, they got cellmates. I mean, what is this stuff? You know, the gospel, people have made the gospel so glamorous now that, you know, you got to be some big shot. But back then, they weren't a bunch of big shots. They were people that just loved God, and they were willing to suffer for His name, but they always triumphed in Christ. Amen? But they were willing to suffer for His name. They were willing to be thrown in prison. They were willing to buddy up to slaves that came to the Lord. They weren't ashamed. They didn't say, listen, you got to wear a three-piece suit when you come to church, and I don't want to see any of them blue jeans, you know. Now, I'd like everybody to dress as nice as they can, but frankly, I really don't care if you wear blue jeans. Now, you say, brother, that's license. You're going to let up a lot of people. Do you know we haven't really had that much problem anyway? I mean, you know, we got a good-looking crew here. But if the whole rows that aren't filled here, these three or four here, were filled with dirty, old, smelly, clothes people, I wouldn't care. I'd preach to them just like I would to you. And you know, we've had some in here. We've had some in here, came in, heard the word, and robbed us, just like Onesimus. So? Well, let's keep them out of here, bless God. Don't let any more of those alcoholics come in here. I mean, after all they're in here is checking out the place so they can steal everything. You can't shut every alcoholic out just because one came back and robbed the place. God caught him. Angels told on him. The police caught him. Had to bring it all back anyway. Praise God. So the Lord's protecting. And maybe we need to get some bars on the back window. But we don't need to bar the front door from people who might have a need or that have a problem. Can I hear a good, strong amen? Praise God. Well, Aristarchus, you made it then. These people are going to put up with you. Praise the Lord. And Mark, sister son to Barnabas, concerning whom you have received commandment, if he come unto you, receive him. Now, who is Mark? Mark was a man that when the Apostle Paul first was called into the ministry, he was the sister son to Barnabas. Barnabas and Paul were the ones who went out first. And Barnabas took Mark, his nephew, with him. And they, if you can read all this in the book of Acts, and they got to a certain point and they said, let's go over into this part of the country and go do some stuff. And Mark said, man, I'm tired. I'm going back to Antioch. And Apostle Paul said, you done what? Man, we're just now getting going into ministry. He said, yeah, man, I'm tired. I'm going back. You're going back? Yeah, I'm going back. So he left. So later on, Barnabas and Paul make it back to the home church. And they're there for a while, and they decide they're going to go out again. And so they say, well, Barnabas, you ready to go? He says, sure am. Mark, get your stuff packed. And the Apostle Paul says, you ain't bringing Mark. Now, this is all in the Word. You ought to read the book of Acts. It's right there. You ain't bringing Mark. Uh-uh. He took off on us in the ministry, man. We needed him. And he left us. The Apostle Paul said that. Yeah, it's all there. It says that the contention was so strong between Paul and Barnabas that they just split asunder. They just never to travel again. Because Barnabas took Mark with him and he went to the island of Cyprus and he ministered to the island and he said, I'll take care of Cyprus and I'm taking Mark with me and you go where you want to go, Paul. But now, many years later, Paul says, Mark greets you too. And in another place later on, he says, I have need of him. So this ought to be an encouragement to some of you who have gotten involved in something and then you've blown it and somebody got down on you because you didn't follow through. And even though Paul was down on Mark and he said, man, we need faithful people. Later on, he said, I have need of Mark. He says, Mark greets you. He says, Mark is a beloved brother. Paul had to learn a few things. We need one another and we need to be faithful. But you're going to slip and fall sometimes. I'm going to. We're going to make mistakes, and we're going to do a lot of things that look a little contrary. But you know, love covers a multitude of sins, and any church that's ever really made it, they were able to face the fact that there were going to be problems. Not say, don't say that, brother. Don't say there's going to be problems. Don't confess that. There's going to be problems. There always is. Don't think not confessing problems will keep you from having problems. That's silly. Now, you need to watch the confession of your mouth, but do you honestly believe if you don't confess any problems, there won't be any? Wrong. You're going to have them. The thing is to say, there's going to be problems, but I always triumph in Christ. Now, there's the kind of confession you need to have. Say, well, that ain't the way Brother so-and-so says it. Well, you know, I've heard it from the Lord this way. And we need to realize there are going to be things, there are going to be people that fail you and make a mess at times. But if we just keep on loving one another, love will cover a multitude of sins. We'll be back on our feet and moving ahead in no time. But when we get the holier than thou, well, bless God, Mark left us. He ain't going. Then you don't have nothing but problems. And the Apostle Paul had to repent later on and say, man, this guy is a brother. He does have a part in this ministry. And let's go, brother. Put his arm around Mark. So far we got cellmates, we got runaway slaves, and we got unfaithful Christians. What a crew. Woo! Praise God. Now all these people are greeting him. And he says, if he come unto you, receive him. Oh no, we're now going to have to receive this guy. Praise God. Verse 11, and Jesus, who is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers in the kingdom of God, who have been a comfort unto me. Verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greeteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him, now we're talking about Epaphras in verse 12, now in verse 13, for I bear him witness that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Okay, Epaphras is a different minister altogether, see. Now we've had, have you been noticing the different kinds of ministries these people have had? They've all had a certain area. And they've had a certain thing they had to overcome. And the church to receive them had a certain thing they had to overcome. The church wants everybody to come in and shape up. But the church has to overcome some things and shape up as new things happen. We need to always hear from the Holy Spirit. He never misses a lick. We will, but the more closely we walk with Him, the less we'll do that. So Epaphras has a ministry in what? Prayer. That's his ministry. Apparently, God set him aside for prayer. Can you see that? Can you see what it says there? This man labors fervently in prayer. And apparently, God burdens people to labor fervently in prayer just for certain things. See, he's got a great burden for you at Colossae, which was in this certain neighborhood, and also in Laodicea and Hierapolis. These were cities. This was a certain, I think it was Asia Minor. And he said, this brother has a burden of prayer just for a certain area. Just for a certain area. And he's praying for you guys. Y'all are in that area. And I want you to know that God's raised up somebody and he's put it on their heart and they can't help themselves. They're just burdened. And they just pray fervently. And this guy just stands in the gap. He's a fellow servant, and he stands in the gap, and I bear him witness. He's got a great zeal for you, and he labors fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Thank God for prayer warriors. Amen. Thank God for people that are burdened, who there are people like Mark that go out and Tychicus that go out. But there are people that must stay at home
and pray. There are people that must stay at home and pray. There are people that must work on jobs. There are people that must do certain things. And the key to this thing is to know that you are an individual member of the body of Christ. And you can't sit there and have God, let me just give an example. God burdens me to pray for Colosso and Hierapolis and Laodicea, and I'm burdened for that. And somebody comes through the church, and he says, we need to have more people. And he shows you all the scriptures on jail ministry. And all of a sudden you go, man, I've never been involved in jail ministry at all. I better start going down there, you know. So you start going down there, and next week we have somebody through the church that says, man, I tell you what, it's the foreign field. We got to go in all the world. And you go, oh, wow, man. I haven't even thought about going to the mission field. And God's given us that great command. And I better go to the mission field. And you start preparing for the mission field. And pretty soon somebody comes through and he says, don't you people have any burden for the alcoholics? And it's okay to hear all this. We need to. We've got all these ministries going on in this church, as a matter of fact. And more. But you must know God's dealing in your life. You, only you can determine that. Don't wait for the pastor to come and put his hand on you and say, God has separated you to clean the toilets on Tuesday or something, you know. That's, you know, don't think, you know, of course we don't think that. I mean, God has anointed you to, you know. Because I might do that. And then what are you going to do? Praise God. Uh-oh, brother, I'm the one to go to, you know. Praise God. You got to hear from God. Say, I don't hear from God. You will. If you keep on keeping on, stay in the Word, pray, fellowship with people, get together and pray. You know, the main time I have visions or a word of knowledge or something, usually is when I've been in prayer and in searching the Word. Really. Because you got to get in the Spirit. You know, people say, well, I don't ever get no vision, man. But they never get in the Spirit. They drive down the road. They might pray in tongues a little bit sometimes. They might read the Bible a little bit. But they don't really get in the Spirit. Do you know what I'm talking about? They don't really get in the Spirit. And so they say, well, how come he always has visions? You know, they don't realize that God can't talk to flesh. Because flesh will pervert everything he's trying to do. So we have to get out of the flesh and in the Spirit. And it takes a while. I mean, usually after the first hour of praying, your flesh is crying out, quit praying, let's go, you know, I'm going to go get a malt at Burger King or something. You know, or, you know, my knees are killing me, or gee, I can't think of anything else to pray. But after about the first hour, then you begin to move in. You just starting the first hour. You're just starting to move in. And by the second hour, you're usually there. If you're not there, you're real close. And you know you're getting there, and you don't feel your knees, and you don't feel a need for, you know, to go get your milkshake, or you don't feel a need to, all you want to do is sit in His presence and worship Him. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God begins to move on your spirit, because you're more spirit than you are flesh. And He begins to speak, and He begins to tell you things. So I want to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You got to get in the Spirit. And then He can talk with you. You got to spend time with Him. You know, what would it be like if I just ran home every, you know, 7 hours, popped in, said, hello, Deb. Hi, kids. Well, got to go and leave, you know. And did that week after week, month after month. Somebody said, man, you don't really have much of a relationship with your family. What are you talking about? I hit there every 7 hours. You add that up. That's a lot of trips. But you're not, I'm not having a relationship, you know. Praise God. hitting home a little bit, aren't I? Praise the Lord. We got to spend time with the Holy Spirit if we want to hear from Him. And it's not just the special people. Well, only the pastor, after he spends an hour. No. You should try Thursday night, prayer meeting. What happened last Thursday night? We had a circle, we were all praying, and all of a sudden we looked up and everybody was on the floor. I don't know how they all got there. I don't guess everybody was, most everybody was. Laid out, prostrate. Spirit of God, whoo, get on your face. And I was on my face. And then I looked around a few minutes later, I said, everybody else was on their face. Praise God. And he began to move, and he began to move with a word of knowledge, and he began to give special things, and oh, that was great. It was great. But sometimes in prayer, you need to be with others, especially others that are really going to punch through. Because if you're having a hard time in prayer, it's probably because you're trying to do it in between the mailman at the door and the soap opera and the kid crying and all this stuff. It's hard to get in the spirit because you keep getting pulled back. You know what I mean? You start going up, somebody jerks you back. Like Brother Gentry kept doing to me this morning with the announcement. Come back. I don't want to come back. Let me go. Praise God. Well, where are we? Verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you.